I hope you noticed this morning as we sang our songs that they all had to do with memories, with the time that we're celebrating this weekend as a country, with the benefits that we have living in this country. You know, it's kind of interesting. It crossed my mind as Bill was talking about having his granddaughter graduating from high school, seeing her back there, beautiful, shining, radiant, looking to the future. And then you think about these girls that have been kidnapped, and who knows what's happening to them right now. How blessed we are. The history of Memorial Day is kind of interesting. I'm not much of a historian. On the back of the bulletin for today, you may have noticed an article dealing with how we have come to where we are with Memorial Day. It's interesting that the first celebration, June the 3rd in 1861, was a Civil War soldier whose grave was decorated in Warrenton, Virginia. And that got people thinking. 4 years later, Lincoln was assassinated. And on May the 1st of that year, in Charleston, South Carolina, there was an observance of the memory of the things that were a part of our country at that time. Michigan is distinguished in Memorial Day because on May the 30th in 1868, the first Decoration Day was proclaimed, and that was in the state of Michigan. And it was labeled that in 1871. You may not realize it, that it was 1967 before it was called Memorial Day. It was changed to the last Monday in May in 1971. It took us a long time to get serious about remembering what has been done to give us the freedom that we have to be here, to live in such a wonderful country. You may not be aware of it, but tomorrow the United States flag will be raised to the top of the staff in the military cemeteries around this country, in Arlington and others. And then it will be lowered to half staff until noon. And that's done to celebrate the over 1 million people who gave their lives for us, for the United States. And then at noon it'll be raised back to the top of the flag staff, indicating our resolve not to give up the fight for liberty and for justice. It's also interesting that Memorial Day is not to be confused with Veterans Day. Memorial Day is a memorial. Veterans Day honors everyone who is in the military, alive or dead. All of us who are in the military are honored. I have to tell you, I'm a little self-conscious about that. I've been in Branson, Missouri, when they have all the veterans stand up. I almost hate to stand up because I didn't go through what, for instance, Cindy's father went through. Cindy's father was in Normandy. He was running up the beach, and his best friend on his left and his second best friend on his right were blown to smithereens. He looked at the remains of their bodies and kept running. I never got into combat. I don't feel worthy of standing up next to a man that's gone through that. We all get honored in Veterans Day, and all of us went into the military because we love this country, or in some cases because we were afraid we were going to get drafted. But memorials are important. Remembering those who have died are important. I'd like to call your attention to the fact that God calls us as Christians to participate in memorials. It's kind of interesting when you look at what happens today. Do you know this is one of the largest days of the year at Graceland in Memphis? More people will show up there today, and more people will go to Elvis Presley's tombstone than any other time of the year. They have bigger days at the gate, but I'm talking about the memory of the man. As we came up 51 this morning, I noticed it was almost a traffic jam at that cemetery next to the memorial building down there. It's kind of interesting that we, many of us, participate in memorials, and God calls us to that. We show what we value by what we observe. In Acts 10 and verse 4, the Holy Spirit said to Cornelius, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God." I'd like for you to think for a minute, what do you value? I think our priorities are shown by what we honor. Do we honor Elvis, Michael, Marilyn? You know, it's interesting that those icons, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Marilyn Monroe, that they seem to get much more attention in our day and time than Jesus Christ. Sometimes what we value is politics above and beyond the sacrifice of God's Son on the cross. We show our degree of appreciation by radiating what we give. You know, there's an interesting story about that, and I don't know whether you've ever noticed, I had not, the location of this incident. It's in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 6. We're told that there was a woman who brought an alabaster jar of perfume and poured it over Jesus. My sources tell me that's about $800 worth of perfume. She had that value on Jesus Christ. What she valued was the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. What she valued was the fact that she saw a way to have what had been wrong in her life made right. Jesus said, and I quote the verse there, verse 13, "I tell you the truth, whenever the gospel is preached, wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done will be told in memory of her." And you know what's interesting to me about that is that the very next verse is verse 14. Judas goes to the chief priest to sell Jesus. What an incredible contrast that here's this woman who took what had to be a major part of her life, money, and honor Jesus Christ by pouring $800 worth of perfume to prepare his body for burial in reality. And Judas complained about that and went to sell Jesus Christ to those who would crucify him. Memorials demand time. Memorials demand energy. It's not just money. Now, I challenge you to think this morning about what do you value? It's not just money. Where do you spend your time? God gave you 168 hours this week. What'd you do with it? It's so important for us to understand that God calls us to be people who value what we have been blessed with. You may notice in your bulletin that in the outline of the lesson, I have three Greek words that are used that help us understand different types of memorials. The first one that is listed there is a memory of people who have blessed us. The Greek word, M-N-E-I-A, Carl can probably tell you how to pronounce that, means to recall. To recall. In Philippians 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." People who have blessed us, remembering them. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, he says, "You have good remembrance of us always." People who have been important to them spiritually. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, "I have a remembrance of you in my prayers." See, those are all people that had blessed Paul. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 15, have these things always in remembrance. Bill, Audrey, Kamoka, they're remembering a woman who had an influence in their lives, who set an example in their lives. I have a man named Ward Sullivan who I referred to as my spiritual father. I didn't hold him up in the sense that he was reverent, but I held him up in the sense that he was a powerful influence in my life. I remember him. Everybody thought it was funny. We had a building in South Bend that we put our ministry into, and I wanted to call it the Ward Sullivan Annex. Everybody sort of snickered. You know, the reason I wanted to do that was because I wanted to remember what an incredible influence this man had had on my life. I wanted him to know, because he was still alive at the time, how much I treasured him, how much I valued him. Let me encourage you. Don't let people that have been an influence in your life go unthanked. Let them know you remember them. You know, it's no secret we're not going to have Audrey much longer. I think it's important for us to remember to let her know how much we appreciate her. The example, the strength, and that's true of so many. There's another word that we just participated in. It's a different word. And isn't it interesting that this business of memorial has three different words in the Greek? This one is a word that it's anamnesis. I have it there in your bulletin. It means to remember again, a constant indwelled memory. We just participated in the Lord's Supper. Why do we do that? And why do we do it every week? You know, our stock answer to that is, well, we have the example in the New Testament. We know that the first century church did that. In Acts 20 and verse 7, we see it done. We know that it was a practice of the first century church. We know that Jesus said in Luke 22 and verse 19, this do in memory, in remembrance of me. And in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 24, this is a passage we quote a lot when we do the communion service, but we say, this do in remembrance of me. It's a quote, actually, of the passage in Luke. But because this is something that should be an indwelled of us. That kind of memory is not just once a year. That kind of memory is not just once a month. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you that kind of memory is not just once a week. In the time of your own private study, I hope you spend a little bit of time reflecting upon what God has done and providing us with the hope, with the realization that when this life is done and the older you get and the more aches and pains you develop, that gets emphasized so much more strongly, to know that things are going to get better. The third word that is used in the Greek language, and again it's in your bulletin, H-U-P-O-M-N-E-S-I-S. I don't know how you pronounce that. Don't even want to try. But it's a recollecting. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul says, I call to memory the unfeigned faith which is in thee. Paul remembered the faith of this young Christian man. What a joy to see a young person that has strong faith, strong belief, is willing to stand up for what they think is important. It's interesting also in that particular passage, he says that first dwelt in your grandmother. That's back to the other kind of memory, isn't it? In 2 Peter 1 and verse 13 and several other, we're told to stir our minds by remembrance. What is the purpose of Memorial Day? It's to stir our minds. It's to make us aware that we as Christians are to be people who remember the past. And remember the things that have been done in preparation for us. Another part of this business of Memorial Day, and another part of this business for as we as Christians should be remembering the things that have been blessed to us is the idea of honoring. Memorial Day is said to be a day that honors those who have died. Sometimes in the original language, the word is praise those who have died. And you've already heard that said at least once or twice this morning before we got to our lesson. We're told to honor God. We're told to praise God. We're so told to give glory to God. But it's interesting what we have not thought about as to where God says that honor should come. I want you to listen to a passage in John 5, beginning with verse 40. And the word that is used here for glory in this passage, and again, we have several different words that are used for glory, is the word doxa, D-O-X-A. We are told to be careful about this honor. And listen to what God says. You refuse to come to me to have life. And listen to this statement. I do not accept honor or praise from men. This is God talking. This is God talking. He's saying to us, it's not up to you to praise me. That I don't need your praise. You know, I think sometimes we get in the idea that we have some kind of a God up there with a big ego problem, and he needs to have us praise him. We need to build up his ego. We need to help him not have a bad case of depression. That's not the point. As a matter of fact, God says specifically, I do not accept honor or praise from men, but I know you. I know you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone comes in his own name, you accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from another and yet will make no effort to obtain the praise that comes only from God? You see, our purpose in worship here is not to praise God because God has a need. Our purpose here is to build our hearts, to strengthen our relationship to God. We're not in a praise hunt. We're not in a celebrity race. Now, we will give God praise in heaven. Revelation 19 and verse 7 says that we will give God glory in heaven. But the glory that God seeks from us is a glory that is for our benefit, not because we serve some kind of a deficient God. You say, well then what kind of thing should we have with God as far as glory is concerned? Well, that brings us to the next word. And the next word, which is tomeo in the Greek, is the term weight. Weight is a kind of honor. Let me give you some passages where you can see this. In John 4, in verse 44, it says, a prophet has no honor in his own country. He has no weight in his own country. What's Jesus saying? Well, remember when he went back to Nazareth? When he went back to Nazareth, they didn't believe what he said. Why? Well, he says right there, the prophet has no honor. He has no weight in his own country. Matthew 15 and verse 5 and verse 4. Honor your father and your mother. Honor. What does it mean? Give them praise? It means to give them weight. The specific statement is pay attention to what they say. See, I think we have minimized the significance of that passage by suggesting that somehow if we say, yeah, my dad's a good guy, that takes care of our bill on that regard. But what the passage is saying to us is, give weight to what your mother and father say. Give honor, weight. In Ephesians 6 and verse 2 and in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 3, we're told to honor widows. Why? Because widows have a lot of good things to tell us, to teach us, to help us with. I can't tell you how many times I've had Audrey say something to me where I have to sit back and say, whoops, yep. Yeah, should have been thinking about that myself. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 23, honor to the unseemly parts of our body. What is that saying? It's saying take care of yourself. Your body is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple of God? God calls us to give honor to our bodies, to give weight to our bodies, to pay attention to our bodies. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, gentlemen, turn your hearing aid up. Give honor to your wife. Pay attention to what your wife says. Do I hear any amens on that one, ladies? Pay attention to what your wife says. That's God saying. Marriage and the idea of submission is not some kind of an inferiority, superiority thing. It is a team effort. And we are to give weight. We are to give honor to our wives. Romans 13 and verse 7, the same passage, same word, used in reference to civil authorities. We are to give honor. We are to give weight to civil law. Christians obey the laws of the land. There's another kind of honor, and this is from the Greek word entimos. And this word means to make honorable. And it is specifically used in reference to celebrities. There's a wonderful passage in Luke 14, beginning with verse 7, where Jesus demonstrates this for us. Let me just read it to you. When Jesus noticed how the guest picked the places of honor at the table of a prominent Pharisee's house, he told them this parable. Now, you understand what's going on here. Parables having a big feast, okay? Having a big party. It's not Memorial Day, but it's equivalent to Memorial Day. And where everybody sits is important. There are the chief seats. There are the places of honor. And listen to what he says. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. First, a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place. So that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. That's good advice, isn't it? Okay? It's good advice. Be moved up. Don't be pushed down. But then listen to the message that he attaches to this, the last part of that verse. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, the message there, the kind of honor that God is talking about, is not the kind of honor that applies to God. It's not the kind of honor that applies to our relationships to each other that are present in the church as we have looked at the other two words. This is what I would call celebrity honor. Obeying the social rules. Playing the game. Oh, is our society infatuated with that one, isn't it? You know, it's interesting. There's a magazine called People Magazine. And it's interesting in there because People Magazine is all about people who are the celebrities, who are the prominent ones, and all the things that our culture attaches significance to. Those who died so that we could live as we do need to be moved up in place of honor. And we participate in days like today to honor them, to support our belief in them, to remember what blessed people we are to live in a country like this. Let's bow together in a word of prayer and talk to God about that. Our Father, we come to you this morning having talked about this business of memorials. We have sustained our memorial relationship to you by our communion and by communion with you and with one another as we think about the death that Jesus was willing to endure on the cross, that we might have the hope of eternal life. We thank you, God, so much for that. And we pray to you this morning that as we are part of a culture that is honoring those who have preserved a way of life, that you will help us to understand the significance of being Christians in such a culture. We're so thankful, Father, that we have freedom. We're so thankful that we are able to give weight to those who have instructed us, our parents, our grandparents, people who are Christians who have been influential in our lives. And Father, we especially pause at this time to thank you for the sacrifice that many have made that give us the capacity to be here this morning on a beautiful, sunny Sunday morning in a comfortable building with comfortable surroundings and with a complete lack of fear. We know, Father, that in other parts of the world there are people who, as they worship, constantly watch the door, because their history has been that someone will walk in and start shooting. And we're so thankful, Father, we don't have to put up with that. We don't have to have that kind of anxiety, that kind of pain. And we know, Father, that the reason that we don't have to endure that is because there have been those who were willing to sacrifice their lives to give us this freedom. And Father, we pray for this country. We pray that your hand will be upon us, that we are able to motivate our leaders to stay close to your word and to put a premium on the kind of freedom that you want us to have. We're thankful, Father, for all who've made this possible. We praise you. We're thankful to you. We honor you. And we are so grateful to be able to honor those who have given us the blessings we have in this life. Be with us now, Father, as we continue through this day. Help us to not only think about the blessings that we have today, but help us as we, in our own private conversations with you, constantly remember the blessings you have given us. And Father, forgive us for our indifference. Forgive us for taking so much for granted. And help us appreciate the fact that we have brothers and sisters today who don't have any notion of what kind of freedom we have. Bless us, Father. Forgive us and strengthen us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We honor God by remembering all He has done for us. I hope you noticed the songs that we sang. We sing praise to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. That was one of our songs today. We praise God by giving, to enable His name to be exalted. And it's a wonderful thing that we have folks with us this morning who we were able to meet at the fair. It's a great thing that we have been blessed to be able to be in the community, the cleaning up of the highway, the Christmas floats, the things that we've been able to be a part of. What a great thing that we are able to reach out to the community and serve God in that way. We honor God by remembering Jesus' death on the cross. When my love for Christ goes weak, then for stronger faith I seek. The other verse, when my love for man grows weak, when for greater love I seek. Number 752 is a great song reminding us of the blessings that we have and how we live, what we do, using the tools that God has given us to live in positive ways. Don't take Memorial Day for granted. Don't take this country for granted. And don't take your salvation for granted. Our invitation on today is number 29. All to Jesus I surrender. The message of that song is realize what's important in life. Understand the value that God places on us having a relationship with Him. You remember the passage that I said a few minutes ago, back up in John 5 and verse 40. I do not accept praise from men, God says, but I know you. I know you do not have the love of God in your hearts. That's what surrendering to Jesus is, letting the love of God become a part of your mind and your heart, helping you to grow, helping you to mature, helping you to reach the potential that God has for you. And if you haven't surrendered to God, we want to invite you to do that this morning. Respond to God's invitation. Become a Christian. If you've done that and you need prayers, you're struggling with things in life, welcome to the club. We all struggle. But one of the blessings we have is to be able to pray together when we reach those struggles. And if you want something specifically prayed for this morning, we would invite you to express that. If in any way we can be of assistance to you, if in any way you wish to respond to the invitation of Christ, won't you come as together we stand and sing to encourage you? Please.